Our first reading is from Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll so it is remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Our second reading is taken from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that he can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This is the word of the Lord."
Perfect. Well, in that case, why don't we commit this time to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look at this it's a wonderful passage for us to look at today. So let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would give us alertness, Lord. For those of us online, we know that it's harder just to put the screen, so we pray that you'd broaden that and help us to focus. For those of us here in person, Lord, we pray for all of us that you'd be speaking with us, encouraging us, and strengthening us as your people. And we pray that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Okay. Let me introduce some people. First of all, Janet. She's become a Christian later in life. She's the only one in her family. Her husband is not really 100% supportive. And sometimes there's just this kind of nagging voice in her head that makes her think, you know what, life would just feel easier if I just shelved Jesus, and it would just take some of the tension out of the relationships. It would just make life a little bit easier. Okay, that's Janet.
Here's Rob.
Now, it's a different story of Rob. He has been a Christian for much of his life. He's been married maybe 15 years. Kids are growing up now. And then one day, kind of almost out of nowhere, his heart suddenly starts being drawn to this other woman. He kind of feels embarrassed about it to start with, but it doesn't go away. And it becomes pretty clear that she is attracted to him as well. And Rob is just totally conflicted. That's Rob. Here's Heidi. Okay, so Heidi is 15 years old. Okay, she's grown up going to church with her parents, and she knows how important Jesus is at home. Okay, and on one level, you know, she can see the attraction. And on one level, she's drawn to Jesus. She can see the goodness of it. But, you know, then she's at school and, oh boy, she has got some friends who are just encouraging her in such a different way. And Heidi knows that it feels like there is just a bit of a crossroads coming at some point in her life. Okay, Janice, Rob, Heidi. They are all experiencing what is completely common in the Christian life. The battle. Okay, the spiritual battle. Have a look at those words that we read from Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So can you see it's talking there about a battle, a battle that is unseen, an enemy who is spiritual. But any of us who've been Christians for any time at all will have experienced something of the reality of it. And this unseen enemy has one goal, but many tactics. Okay, the goal is to draw people away from Jesus and the life that he promises, to stop Christian believers from getting to the promised land, eternal life that Jesus has promised them. That's the goal, but the tactics are always different. Okay, here are six D's of the devil's tactics. Okay, disobedience. So he tempts Christians to disobey God, makes us think that obeying God is restrictive and bad for us. Disobedience. Discouragement, how we're just weighed down with constant discouragement in the Christian life, and it's just too hard to keep going. Then there's doubt. Is it true? It just niggles away. And then there's division, as Christians come to blows and think, oh, it's just too difficult at church, I'm not going to go back. And then there's just plain old distraction. And you know what it's like. Life is busy. There's so much else going on. And before you know it, you've just completely fallen out of the habit of anything to do with Jesus at all. And then there's disengagement. And some of us perhaps listening on, we're not yet Christians. And we're thinking, wow, this is all a bit unusual, talks of spiritual battles and all the rest of it. But, you know, one of the devil's most clever tricks is to make us totally disengage with even the possibility that there might be a spiritual realm and a spiritual reality. And so we're just disengaged. But whatever the tactics are, the goal is always the same. You know, we are reading the books of Narnia, to Chronicles of Narnia, to our kids at the moment. And in the silver chair, they come up against this this evil witch called the Lady of the Green Kirtle. And after they've defeated this evil witch, they realize that she seems a bit similar to the White Witch. Do you remember in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? And this is what one of the dwarves says. He says, those northern witches always mean the same thing, but in every age, they have a different plan for getting it. And so it is with this battle. The same goal with many different tactics. Janice, Rob, Heidi, what about you? Just have a moment to reflect. Where have you been feeling this battle in your own life? Now, we've been seeing in Exodus, haven't we, that as well as giving us a real account of real events in history, there really were a people of Israel who needed liberating from slavery, who were brought to a real land that became their inheritance, as well as giving us a real historical account. It also gives us a worked visual aid, a picture of the Christian life and what we can expect as we follow Jesus. And so often the physical pictures in Exodus help us to understand spiritual realities today. So do you remember, they were in literal slavery and they needed saving through the blood of the Lamb. And we are in spiritual slavery to our sin, and we need saving through the blood of our Lamb, the Lord Jesus. They were heading to a real geographical place. You could put the Google pin where they were heading. Now, we are on a journey as well. You can't put a pin in the map to the promised land that we're heading to, but it's no less real, but it's spiritual. And it's the same with this battle that we encounter in our reading today. Can you see verse number 8? The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. On this journey to the promised land, there will be opposition. There's going to be a battle. But as we've seen from Ephesians, for us, that's not an army attacking us, but it's a spiritual attack. Can you see what the Amalekites, what they were going to do? They were going to stop the Israelites getting to the land that God had promised them. That's the problem with the attack. And actually, that's exactly what our spiritual enemy is seeking to do. Stop us from getting to the promised land that Jesus has won for us. And can you see how the attack comes? Verse 8, the Amalekites came and attacked. It's totally unprompted, unexpected. It's at a point where they're at their weakest. Those who were here last week, do you remember how they were groaning and murmuring because they didn't have any water? They were weak and discouraged and divided already. And that's the point at which the enemy attacks. And so often that's true in our Christian struggles as well. It's often when we're feeling weak and tired and discouraged that our spiritual enemy most effectively launches his attack. So what have we got to learn then from Moses and Joshua and the people of Israel? How they survive this attack is going to teach us about our own journey and the attacks that we encounter along the way as well. So let's have a look together again. I want you to do a bit of work for me, actually. So just in your groupings here, or if you're sitting with someone at home, chat this through together just for a moment, please. And the question is this: how does Moses plan to fight this battle? Okay, that's the first question. Second question is, on whom does victory depend? So how does Moses plan to fight this battle, and on whom does victory depend? Have a chat about it in your little groups. This is really from verse 9 down to verse 13. Okay, anyone get it then? What's the plan? It's a two-part plan. Okay, what's part one of the plan? Okay, go and fight Joshua in the valley. Can you see that verse 9? Moses said, Joshua, choose some men and go out and fight the Amalekites. And what's part two of the plan? Okay, the staff, that's right. So tomorrow, says Moses, I'll stand on the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Okay, so it's a two-part strategy. There's fighting to be done. They can't just all sit there and have a prayer meeting. They've actually got to act. But then, crucially, Moses goes up the hill. Do you see this? Verse 9. Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur, they go up to the top of the hill. And can you see on whom does victory depend? Verse 11. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And when his hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur, can you imagine him standing either side and holding his hands up? And as long as the hands were raised high, then they were going to win. Okay, so here's the second question. On whom does victory depend? Does it depend on Joshua? Okay, does it depend on Moses? No. Okay, trick question. Listen, Moses couldn't even hold his hands up the whole time. Okay, he's not exactly the strong one in this situation. Okay, victory depends on the Lord. Okay, victory depends on the Lord. Now listen, Joshua has a role to play. He has to go and fight. Moses has a role to play. He goes up and he depends on the Lord as a symbol of prayer as he holds his hands up. But victory ultimately is in the Lord's hands, and he's the one who wins the battle for them. Hence, do you see verse 14? The Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure Joshua hears it, because
I will completely blot out the name of Melech from under heaven. Who's doing the blotting? It's God. His is the battle. And verse 15, this altar, call it, the Lord is my banner. Joshua is my banner? No. Moses is my banner? No. The Lord is my banner. He's the one who wins the victory. Okay, so there are two parts of this spiritual battle. There's the fighting, there's the visible depending on the Lord, but ultimately it's the Lord's battle. Okay, so far so good. But I just want us that there's a misstep that we can make at this point, okay? Because here's what it would be easy to do. It'd be easy to say, look, right, Janet, Rob, Heidi, you lot, in the battles we're all facing, here's what we've got to do. Okay, step one, you've got to fight like Joshua. Okay, you've got to take action against these temptations, against this spiritual battle. You've got to take it in hand and do something. Step one. And friends, step two, we've got to pray in this spiritual battle. Okay, so get on your knees and pray. And at this point, I would passionately implore us all, okay, to be a people of prayer, depending on God on the one hand and actively fighting on the other. Okay, now, all of that is true in its place, but there's something important that we've missed here. Okay, we've talked about Joshua, we've talked about Moses, we've talked about Janet and Rob and Heidi. Okay, who have we not talked about yet? Okay, I'll give you a clue. We're in church and we're followers of Jesus. Okay, who have we not talked about yet? Okay, we've not talked about Jesus. That should always raise your suspicions. If you can listen to a talk in church and Jesus isn't mentioned, then there's something we've not understood properly about the passage. Because as those of us in our small groups going through God's big picture, the whole Bible points towards and works towards and helps us to understand more about Jesus and what he has done for us. Okay, and here's the problem. If you leave Jesus out of this passage, then it ends up being all about us. We leave church thinking, well, listen, all I've got to do is I've got to fight harder in this battle. And I've got to pray harder in this battle. And who is it all about now? Boy, can you see what happens when you miss Jesus out? We go feeling all G'd up for this battle. But the Lord is my banner? Well, no, we seem to have forgotten that. And now it's all about what I've got to do. Now, don't get me wrong. There is stuff that we need to respond to. But first of all, we've got to see how Jesus fits in. And here's how we see that in this passage. And the clue is in the name. Joshua, this is the first time Joshua has appeared in the whole Old Testament. What's the first thing that he does? He leads God's people in a battle that he wins. Now, who can tell me, what does the name Joshua mean? Anyone know this one? Joshua? Okay, the Lord saves. Who can tell me what the name Jesus means? The same. It's the same name. Jesus is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua. Okay, so that's why when Joshua leads people into the promised land, it's an amazing picture of exactly what Jesus is promising to do for us. Jesus leading us to our promised land. Okay, so when you read about Joshua in this battle, okay, don't read yourself into the position of Joshua, you know, me valiantly battling. Think Jesus. Okay, what is it that Jesus has done to valiantly battle the enemy for us? Well, listen to this. This is Colossians 2, verse 15. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Okay, in other words, yes, we've got a spiritual enemy, and we've got our own Joshua who has gone into battle for us, and praise be to God, has defeated that enemy. Okay, look at verse 13. Joshua overcame the Amalekite army by the sword. Here's our version of that. So Jesus overcame Satan's armies with the cross. Isn't that amazing? Because at the cross, you see, Satan had us bound by our sin. okay, righteously facing God's judgment. There was no way out until Jesus took the judgment for us. And Satan has nothing to hold us to now. And so Satan is defeated. But you know, it's amazing because Jesus is not just in the valley, our Joshua fighting for us. He's also on the hill praying for us. Listen to this. This is Romans 8, verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. That word interceding just means he's lifting us up to God in prayer the whole time. So if you're a Christian believer, he has you on his heart and he's saying, Lord, protect them. They are engaged in a great spiritual battle at the moment. But Lord, I'm lifting my hands up to you for them because I love them. I've died for them and I am willing them now to stand firm all the way to their own promised land. We've got our Joshua fighting for us in the valley. We've got our Moses praying for us so that we might win this battle. Now, don't you think it's so much better when you don't miss Jesus out? When you see that the whole Bible gloriously points us forward to what he has done for us, because the Lord is still our banner. The Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen in Exodus, not only is he the key to our provision day by day, the living water that flows out of that rock, he is also the key for our success in the battles that we face. But here's the thing. Okay, it's important that we've seen that. But Janice and Rob and Heidi still have the reality of the battles that they're facing in their lives. So what do we say to them? Okay, I'm going to borrow this. I want us to imagine, okay, that Jesus sits down with each of them and chats with them. And I want us to imagine what Jesus would say to each of them. Okay, so here's Janice. Okay, do you remember Janice? She's become a Christian a bit later. She's the only one in her family. Here's what I think Jesus says to Janice. He says, Janice, I know that it's hard. Okay, it's a really tough situation, but I put you there quite deliberately. Now, Janice, you must realize what's going on here. Will you notice that it is a spiritual battle? Okay, that's what's going on here. There is a genuine spiritual battle. Don't miss it. But Janice, will you please take heart? Because I'm your savior. I have fought for you. And do you know Satan has absolutely no power? He's a defeated enemy. And Janice, I am praying for you every day. I am willing that you keep going because I love you and I've paid for every sin. I've won a place in the promised land for you. And you and I are going to make sure we get there together. So Janice, will you join me in standing firm? Okay, yes, there are fights to be had. You're going to have to resolve to go to church Sunday by Sunday, come what may. Yes, you need to pray. Get down on your knees and depend on me for this battle as well, Janice, because I am fighting there with you. I wonder what he'd say to Rob. Maybe he'd start by saying, look, Rob, I know that you have been walking with me for a long time. And I know that you've been through battles already and that you're weary of them. And it's tough to keep fighting. And I know that when you look at this temptation, this other woman, you know deep down how utterly destructive it's going to be in your life and in all of your relationships. You know that, but you're so tempted just to ignore that at the moment. But Rob, you mustn't. Lift your eyes to me. Will you look at the cross and see me there defeating the enemy who is now trying to destroy you? And will you look up to the throne and will you see that I am praying for you, Rob? I'm rooting for you. Because I want you to walk all the way faithfully to the promised land that I have called you to. So, Rob, will you join with me, your savior, fight alongside me Okay, I don't know what that fight will mean. Maybe it means deleting the numbers from your phone book. But Rob, will you pray as well? Because ultimately the battle doesn't depend on you. It depends on me. And I will strengthen you. Well, I don't know what he'd say to Heidi. Maybe he'd say, look, Heidi, I know how hard it is at school. I know how tough it is with your friends, how different your perspective on life is to them, how easy it would be just to go along with them. I know that. Heidi, will you realize it's a spiritual battle? Okay, there's more going on than just a choice between your parents and your friends. There's more going on here. There's a spiritual battle going on. Heidi, I know it feels like an impossible battle to win, but take heart because I've already won it for you. At the cross, Heidi, I've bought you for myself. So please, Heidi, will you fight this battle with me? Because I love you and I'm praying for you and I'm willing you to keep going with me. Now, friends, I just imagine that, but for your own battles, if you were to sit down with Jesus, what would he say to you? What would he say to you in the battles that you're facing right now? It's hard, the Christian life, you know. It's hard. People of Israel, they were saved from slavery in Egypt. And then water shortages, food shortages, more water shortages, and then a battle. It's hard, the Christian life. We need a savior, and wonderfully we have one. So don't you think above all else we should depend desperately upon him in the journeys that we have? But you know, one of the things that our savior gives us is each other as well. Do you remember Aaron and Hur on either side lifting up the hands? And friends, that's our church family. That's what we're here for. To support each other in the battles that we face. I hope that even with COVID, we are remaining connected as well as we can to our church family because we need each other. And I hope that we're praying. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I don't know whatever battles you brought to mind just a few moments ago. Can I just ask you to do something? Will you keep praying about them? And friends, when the battle is won, and in the Lord's strength it will be, can I just ask you to do something? Will you just get a bit of paper somewhere? And when that battle recedes and is won, will you just write these words on that bit of paper for me? The Lord is my banner. And will you just stick them somewhere that you can see and you will remember he is faithful and he will help me through the battles that I face as long as I keep going to him with them. And friends, one day, by his grace and strength, we will get to our promised land. And at that point, we will, in the most wonderful way, still be saying, well, praise God, he has been our banner. He's the one who brought us safely here. Let's pray. So, Father, it is tough being a follower of Jesus. These battles that we face, an enemy who is seeking to destroy, to stop us from getting to our promised land. And yet, Lord, you fight for us. Thank you so much for our Lord Jesus, who was in the valley fighting the battle for us, who is on the hill, now praying for us and interceding and strengthening us day by day. And we pray that we would keep looking to him. And whatever battles we're facing, we just pray, Father, for your strength to keep fighting them. And we pray that for Jesus' sake. Amen.